Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, continuing our commemoration on the coming up to the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, and just months after the signing of the historic agreement, dissident Republicans calling themselves the Real IRA planted a bomb in Omagh town centre, killing 29 people, including a woman pregnant with twins. And it was the single worst atrocity in the history of the Troubles. Aidan Gallagher was just 21 when he died in that bomb, and his father Michael has been campaigning for justice for those killed in the Omagh bomb. And Michael joins me on the line now. Good morning, Michael.
Hello, good morning, Claire.
It's lovely to talk to you again. And you know, every time I speak to you on programmes like this and I'm explaining to people, you know, your background and your involvement in all of this, I'm acutely aware that I'm talking about your family and your boy, and it's never easy.
Absolutely. And as the years go on, it actually gets more difficult, because you realise that when we have children, it's when we get older that we really need and depend on those children. And it's coming to those years that we wish that Aidan was here, that he could do the things for us that we need to ask other people to do. Mm-hmm. And he would do them for the love of us.
And how do you feel now with all of this talk and all of the commemorating that's happening and all of these events coming up to the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement? What has it been like for you?
It's been extremely difficult. In fact, I've been reflecting on it over the last few days. And, we all remember the stories that people say, you know, it wasn't until after my father or my uncle had died that I realised that he had come through the Second World War, yet he never spoke about those things. And it's only now that I'm beginning to understand why those people didn't speak of those things. Because, you know, looking back, I wonder how we managed to survive. It was truly horrendous. And I'm just so happy that my grandchildren will not have to grow up being afraid of the sound of bombs or bullets.
Mm-hmm. And you've described yourself as a victim of the Troubles and a victim of peace. Explain to people, Michael, why you say that.
On the 3rd of June 1984, my younger brother Hugh was 26 and married with two children. And he had been a member of the security forces, but he had left the security forces. But the Provisional IRA had a policy of assassinating Catholics, even if they left the security forces. And that was what happened to Hugh. He on a Sunday, on a Saturday night, Sunday morning, he was ambushed, and there was three shooters there. We believe one of them was a woman, and he had absolutely no chance. And you know, that completely ruined the family. The thing about when we hear about a person dying, we think of that person, and our thoughts are for that person, but the ripple effect of that is that the family get destroyed, their wider circle, their friends, their work colleagues. It has a tremendous impact on people's lives. And during that period of the Troubles, we almost had 4,000 people murdered. And, you know, the trauma that's within society of that particular age of people is tremendous. Mm-hmm. The reason I say that I'm a victim of the Troubles is because of Huey, and we're a victim of the peace, because it was in peacetime that the Omagh bomb happened. People, you've just described it as the worst atrocity of the Troubles. In fact, I would describe it as the first atrocity of peacetime.
Yeah. And just going back to when Hugh was murdered, and you say it ruined the family. Can you tell me more about that, Michael? Because that, I mean, scarcely comprehensible that you've been through this twice. It's such close quarters. But when it ruined the family, what did that mean?
Well, it meant that Hughie's widow, she was a very young woman at the time. She couldn't really comprehend. She couldn't deal with that amount of trauma. She had two young children. It was just horrendous. And even though you're part of the family on the outside, you often feel helpless. Eventually, the family moved to England, and we have very little. Sadly, we have very little contact with them. So, yeah, it's. I don't know what how you you know, in your previous article, you were talking about cancer. I think this was our cancer in our time. Was, you know, these terrorist attacks, both from the loyalists and the Republicans, yeah. And sadly, it hasn't made one bit difference. You know, it's sad that those people should be walking about enjoying life and we enjoying their company, but they're gone. And, you know, that's the true legacy of the Troubles, is the fact that there's so many lives have been broken.
And then you come to 1998 and the signing of the Good Friday Agreement, and given the trauma that your family had been through with the death of Hugh, did you dare to hope at that time that it was coming to an end?
Well, you know, myself, my wife and three children went and voted, and we voted for peace because that's what any normal person would want. We knew then that when our children went out and at the weekend, as young people do, there was less worry, there was less thought of bomb attacks or shootings. And yeah, I mean, we just could not. When Oma happened, again, I think that the entire town of Oma was traumatised, and probably much wider afield, the people were affected in Bunkrana and the people in Madrid. But the whole community was traumatised, and it was like as if we were sent back to a different age when people were more innocent and saying hello to people we didn't even know. And that was the effect of that. But, you know, I think what we've done is we have managed to concentrate on the future, and we do deal with the past in our own way. It's still, you know, sometimes people come up to me and they say, I'm sorry to bring this up. Well, it's there every day. We just suppress it. We manage it. Mm-hmm. But we also have to manage the present.
Just you describe going out to vote for peace, as you say, with your wife and your three children in April of 1998. And it's just that image of that really fragile hope and the delicate peace and the shattering of it, you know, in such a brutal way for your family. But the response to what happened in Oma was different, wasn't it, Michael? I know you've said this before, that it just led to that kernel of that hope being retained by you and your family.
Well, the only way I can put it is, at that point in time, we had a choice to make. We could have more of the same, or we could have changed. And there's no doubt that the people of Ireland, North and South, came out and supported the families and sent a strong message to those people that believed that they could change our government by bullets and bombs, that was not the way forward. You know, it's just unbelievable that these small group of people do not recognise the Garda Síochána, the police force of Ireland. They do not recognise the Irish Defence Forces. These organisations have been in the state for over 100 years, and they are pretending to be the police force of Ireland and the army of Ireland. And it was just... I think that the message was extremely strong, and we've seen it very recently in the attempted murder of Detective John Caldwell, mm-hmm. here in Oma, where, I mean, the amount of people that came out on the street from right across the community left no one in any doubt. And what was encouraging was a large number of that crowd was actually young people.
And you have campaigned for over two decades, and you're still campaigning today for justice for all Oma families, not just your own. Michael, has that, would you say, has it taken over your life, or has it just become part of who you are?
Well, I think shortly after Oma, you know, I had a decision to make whether I would jettison what happened in Oma or whether I would make it part of my life. And I felt I had no choice. I felt that there were issues there that needed to be dealt with. We just cannot walk away and say that the death of 31 people, including two unborn children, stand for nothing. If nothing else, we need to learn lessons. Thankfully, that's where we are at the moment. The Secretary of State, Chris Heaton Harris, stood up in the House of Commons on the 8th of October, sorry, on the 2nd of October this year, and said that we would have a full judicial inquiry, which has lifted a tremendous weight off our shoulders, because then it moves into a different area. But also, in the judgment on the 8th of October 2021, Judge Horner said that it was important that there be an element of that investigation south of the border, because there's a very this was a cross-border crime, and it was important that there is cooperation from both governments. Unfortunately, to date, we don't have any response from the current Taoiseach. I met with the last Taoiseach back last year, and actually the day Stormont fell, I was in the room with the Taoiseach with other victims not connected to OMA, and I asked him to have a meeting to discuss the way forward. And then he was replaced in November by the current Taoiseach. I know the Taoiseach has said he will not be found wanting, but it is hugely important that the government come forward and cooperate with the families to start with. And I mean, we've highlighted this in a number of issues that Rodney Elliott, an Irish Independent, wrote on at both this year and last year.
Rodney Edwards, yeah.
Yeah, Rodney, yeah. And we just appeal to the Irish government to engage with the families and our legal team and work a way forward. And, you know, in fairness to Chris Heaton Harris, he was the first Secretary of State that really sat down and listened to us and understood where we were coming from. And that's the kind of relationship we want. We know the British government and the Irish government wasn't responsible for this bomb, but we know that there are issues out there that need to be dealt with.
And that independent statutory inquiry, we don't have a timeline on that at the moment, do we, Michael?
No, at the moment, it's the Secretary of State at the moment is recruiting a chairperson. And once we get that chairperson, and hopefully we'll have that before the end of this, before the summer recess. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important step forward. Then it's up to the chair to move things forward.
And Michael, as we come up to this anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, 25 years on, and looking ahead to the future for your own family, do you have hope?
Well, at the moment, the political situation's not looking very good. I think unionism is extremely weak, and I feel that they're backed in a corner. I think, you know, that's not a good omen for the future. But I think what we haven't done, and probably in the past 25 years, is, you know, I just personally feel that our difference is our strength and not our weakness. We need to recognise that there are good people from all parts of the community here who want to move forward, who want to have change, and who want to, you know, create a new Northern Ireland for everyone. And if that ends up in an All-Ireland at some time in the future, well, let that happen naturally. But don't allow it to happen by force of guns and bombs.
Michael, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme. That's Michael Gallagher. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.